Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 5th of March, recording at 9:13 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, the highlights. Well, more of the same here today. We had some panicky selling in the Asian markets, chunky moves on the downside in Asia. Europe followed suit, hit the lows of the day, sort of late morning, and then pared those back as Wall Street came in on the upside and pared those declines back considerably in some instances. But then Wall Street started to lose it. And Wall Street actually closed around the lows of the day, not big percentages, although the NASDAQ composite was down 1.15%. But in terms of those who are looking for silver linings here in the day-to-day movements, they're not going to see anything here because, again, say the selling pressure continues. And moving on to other areas, as you would expect, government bonds are firmer in here today. And the dollar, which had begun to firm on Friday, had quite a good day in here. So that's reverting back to type, with the dollar doing somewhat better in a selling squall. And in terms of crude oil, this got hit hard in here today and closed at 59.88. So that's down 176. That's the NYMEX spot crude price. And in precious metals, now they weakened and then they rallied and then they sold off again. So they're off the lows, but some big hits in here. Gold down 715 at 635. We had platinum get nailed in here today, down to 1171. That's down nearly 41. Silver, which had led the charge on the downside, off the lows, got down to 1249. That's incredible. And then bounced, closed here, was trading in after hours at 1271. So pretty heavy selling here. This did spill over into some of the industrial, well, not really. I was going to say, in terms of percentages, these are pretty small. The industrial metals were easier, but these are not big declines in here. That tells us something as well. I'll try to remember that point and come back to it. Wheat and corn closed higher after early selling pressure. My sugar and cotton, well, sugar's taken a hit in here. That purchase on Friday does not look terribly clever in here today. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, well, I could really entitle this piece the stock market is a drama queen, because this certainly has been dramatic, and we see yet again, you know, if one wasn't involved and had some positions at stake, and if it wasn't important, this would be comedy, or perhaps black comedy, but, you know, this spectacle of markets being chased on the upside and then falling even faster, well, it's always been around, hasn't it? When markets are moving downwards, then people quickly become much, much more bearish about the fundamental outlook. So, in other words, we've got a highly emotion-charged environment here overall. Perhaps that's not surprising. People are emotional anyway, and then you take people and money, and the emotional quotient is leveraged up, obviously. What I would say here first is that some stock markets have pulled back to the first areas of potential support. Now, that brings FTSE back to the 6,000 level, and it bounced off that here today. We also had the DAX down to the 6,500 level, and it bounced off that today. And if you look at charts, some, not all, but some show previous reaction lows near these levels. And you can certainly make a case for saying that stock markets are a little bit oversold in the short term. Now, again, you put that might raise an eyebrow or two, but so let me go on and say that you put that in perspective. And of course, we had 4 years on the upside for most of these markets, and then strong to accelerating gains in some instances. So it may sound like a little bit premature to be talking about oversold. Well, I'm not talking about bombed out. In other words, we haven't seen what is so overextended, such an extreme, that I'm willing to step in and say, that's it, folks. It's all over. I'm just saying that some of these declines have been so rapid that they are getting stretched, and they have come back to initial support levels. Now, initial support levels don't have to hold. In a bearish environment, support levels can be cut like the proverbial hot knife through butter, soft butter. So we will see. It's bringing markets back to levels that are just starting to become interesting. Of course, if you're super bear out there, they won't look interesting at all. The point's obvious. Markets fall very, very rapidly, and they start to correct some, at least some of the excesses that have occurred on the upside fairly quickly. Now, there is that old adage, quite a good old adage, that fools rush in where angels fear to tread. And I'm not willing to buy here right now, and I'm only looking for a correction. So if I say, well, a fair number of other people are going to feel similarly in here, you have to say, where's the demand coming from? And the answer is that it's not going to be strong for a while, I suspect, which leaves supply in charge and in the hands of people who are either selling out of long positions or selling short. But again, when you get markets that move down as fast as we've seen over the last 5 days, they correct excesses. Well, they're correcting excesses in a hurry. Now, what else to say here? People talk about safe havens, and the Mark Faber article, which I think which I'm posting later on today, it'll be after this audio is up clearly. He's talked about precious metals and commodities. Well, I like precious metals and commodities for the long term, but when you get a global squall, selling squall like this, people will sell anything that went up, and they're just moving towards liquidity. And about the only thing that's going to hold up in here is bonds. Now, I'm not opening long positions in bonds because I think it'd be probably a fairly modest technical rally overall. I am glad to have raised a lot of cash, all from my trading account last Tuesday. So people want cash, and that feels good for a while. And some people also want the bonds, and that's firmed them up a bit. And as I've said all along, they won't get a decent rally until stock markets start to unravel. And well, that's happening. That's been happening over the last week, hasn't it? Okay. In terms of currencies, this is interesting. We've seen the dollar, as I say, revert back to being relatively firmer. Now, that might seem paradoxical, given that there are a fair number of people out there who are talking about a potential collapse of the US dollar. And we've heard that before, of course. But I think possibly one explanation of that is, again, some people were short the dollar, and they're just going back to they're just reducing exposure generally, maybe taking some profits if they had profits on some dollar shorts to offset losses elsewhere, or just because they want to raise cash. And then again, Americans have exported a lot of capital, and maybe some of those people are pulling in their horns a little bit, bringing a little bit of it back in here. But at any rate, the dollar's firm, and that's not good for precious metals in here. So I don't buy that argument, you know, hold on to your gold, that's the last thing you want to sell. I mean, I sold my gold on Tuesday and my silver and my platinum on Tuesday because I feared the contagion selling. And I think contagion selling is what this is all about here. And that caught oil today. And what if I have a genuine fear, and I've aired this before, if this starts to get out of control a little bit, it'll be because we continue to see the selling, that is, we will continue to see the yen carry trade reverse. Now, the dollar, which was strong here today, but it's fallen sharply against the yen again today. So this is really all about yen strength right now. So the weakest currency has suddenly become the strongest currency, and that's trading at 115.62 against the greenback. Now, for a little bit of perspective, I was interested to see. I recalled that the yen had weakened back last year in the May-June sell-off that we saw, and sure enough, looking at the chart, the decline in the dollar against, the yen's rally. There's the decline in the dollar against the yen, but I should really talk about it in terms of the yen's rally. That actually started in mid-April. And from mid-April, the yen went from 119 down to 109. So it fell 10 yen there in the space of a month. Now, we started really up around the 122 level on this move, and it started that high was in mid-February, so again it starts earlier than the actual market tanking, and we're down, as I just said a moment ago, at this 115, well now 115.61. So I will feel that we're not really getting into the end game of this global sell-off, despite some of the declines looking a bit overextended in the short term, and despite pulling back to some initial support levels, I want to see some weakness in the yen just to allay those carry trade unwinding fears, because it becomes a self-feeding game. Because people are afraid that the carry trade will unwind, they sell positions that had done very well, where the carry trade has no doubt been employed, and that forces some carry trade unwinding, and it just keeps sort of leapfrogging in that manner. What else to mention in here? Industrial metals. And they have held up remarkably well, considering the spectacular gains that some of them had actually seen. The nickels, tin, and more recently lead. And they have held up remarkably well. Now, what that says to me is that we just do not have hedge fund positions. If there are any hedge funds positions out there, those are the ones that have been short copper. And I would assume that those are partially unwound, given that the rally that copper saw just prior to this global market rout, which commenced on the 26th, but copper still hasn't gone back to its lows in here. So the global demand for these industrial commodities really remains quite strong. Now, if people are all saying, well, right now, you know, they're starting to say, a number of commentators at any rate, are saying a recession is guaranteed later on in the year in the U.S. I don't think so, although anything's possible theoretically. They're talking about China weakening very sharply. Again, anything's possible, but that would surprise me a little bit. I think the sell-off will have to get much, much worse for it to have a major impact. Now, is that going to happen? Well, I don't think so, but from an investment standpoint, more importantly, rather than try to guess what's going to happen and say I put myself in the position of the technical naturalist, as it is, and that's not saying naturist. I'm not running around here naked, as someone misinterpreted my comment once, but the naturalist who's watching the herd. And the herd is running around frantically here right now, as you know, trying to escape. And sooner or later, and probably sooner, it'll exhaust itself, and the dust will settle, and there should be some bargains out there. Meanwhile, the best thing I could do is probably to do as little as possible in here, except just observe and comment on what I see going on in the markets. So, but that's a way of saying that I do not think that this sell-off is a harbinger of a big slowdown in the U.S. Beg your pardon, in the global economy. U.S. economy had already slowed down, and I think that the stock market generally is a fairly lousy fundamental forecaster of events. Of course, there are problems out there, and every problem is being subprime, and all that's been getting a lot of publicity, and every problem gets magnified when markets are weak, and they get swept under the table, sort of, when markets are actually strong. So, I don't think we've bottomed yet, but I would not be surprised to see the overall decline slow as the week progresses. And I think that's pretty much it because I don't want to repeat myself. So I'll just say all the best, and well, it's interesting, isn't it?